This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
That's right. You Indeed are listening to Saturday Magazine, Macca and Tass.
So, the Banking Royal Commission has been in the news a lot, and we're just trying to get hold of Anna Bligh, who's the CEO. I want to make a couple of points, Tass. What I want to ask Anna is, how has it come to this, that you needed a Royal Commission to discover this appalling, disgusting, criminal behaviour by the banks? There were whistleblowers in the banks and they were treated appallingly by the banks. You know, they lost their jobs, you know, they were pursued in the courts. So how has it come to this, Tass? How has it come to this that the banks that we all rely on and that we all trusted have been behaving in the most appalling way? And we're not talking about just now, we're talking about for years. How has it come to this? What's your theory on that?
Oh, Macca, look, this is such a big question. I mean, if I were to try to give you a very simple grab, I would say that greed is the underlying factor here. But that's obviously a very simplistic view because, you know, there are so many competing issues around this. But, you know, I mean, I can't see what else it would be. You've got CEOs who are earning sort of multi-million dollar salaries.
Five, six, eight. 18,
I heard one of them.
Yeah, and
Macquarie CEOs on you know, double-digit millions.
Yeah, and, you know, the reality is that, you know, of course, they've all said, you know, they've all apologised. One bank CEO whose actually behaviour I thought stood out a little bit above the others was Andrew Thorburn from NAB, and it was when the banks put, most recently, housing loan interest rates up, you know, a couple of basis points. And he said that they were going to keep their rate where it was, and this was part of, and I'm paraphrasing here, this was part of the price that the banks have to pay to win back people's trust. Now, some of the things he said about the behaviour, you know, he's been pretty out there, and I admire that. It won't have been easy. Look, he didn't make all the problem, but he's been at the bank for a while. But, you know, that one gesture for a start made me think, well, when I go for a housing loan, I'll probably go to NAB. But this behaviour is just astounding that, you know, these are positions of trust. They're positions where the government helped Australia and helped the banks get through the GFC.
Correct.
They provided an extra level of guarantee to deposits and to the banks, as they should have.
Correct.
And this is how we were repaid.
And what they've done, in fact, systematic.
Systematic bastardry and theft and dishonesty and fraud, right? Charging the dead, right? The financial services industry charging the dead for life insurance. I mean, you're dead. You don't need life insurance. Like, how can you justify this? How can you justify this? Anyway, Anna Bligh, if she's listening on the car radio, I was like, she'd go, oh, my God. We're trying to get her. We do have an agreement for time. I'm sure if something has happened, then we can possibly...
She's based in Queensland, isn't she? It might be a sort of a Queensland sort of non-daylight savings thing or something.
No, well, she's actually in Sydney, I think.
Oh, is she based in Sydney?
Yeah, I think
she's
so.
Left Queensland.
But, I mean, what it says to me is that there's a real culture problem. A huge culture problem in that people in the banks knew this was going on, right? It was being discussed. But you know who else is to blame? The regulator. The Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority. They're not just asleep at the wheel. They're not even in the building. what a bunch of overpaid, overpaid twits, right? They have done nothing.
Well, I can't comment on that.
They have savaged the industry with a wet lettuce, right? APRA. What a bunch of twits. What a bunch of useless regulators, right? They are.
I think we've got Anna Bly on the
radio. Anna, sorry. We're not saying you're useless. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Good. I'm very sorry.
That's all right.
Morning just got away from me.
No, look, that's okay. You're probably lucky. I was in a rant about APRA, about being asleep at the wheel and not even in the building. But look, one of the questions I wanted to ask, and sorry, everyone, we're speaking with Anna Brown,
Anna Bly.
There's too many Annas. Anna Bly, who is the CEO of the Australian Bankers Association, and also.
Former Premier
of Queensland. My question, Anna, is how has it come to this that a Royal Commission had to be held to uncover the behaviour that the banks have exhibited? How has it come to this?
Well, I think these sorts of things happen over many years, and the Commission, most of what they're looking at is going back at least 10 years and looking and forensically examining how perhaps one thing got layered on top with another and then another. And, of course, Royal Commissions have powers that most other law enforcement agencies and regulators don't have. So they are specially equipped to really get to the heart of a problem. And I think the Commission's given an interim report, and that's been very helpful in understanding what they've found and what they're thinking. But I think we'll all have a much better and clearer idea not only about how it's happened, importantly, what is the blueprint going forward when we see the final report in February?
Anna, it's Tass here. Is the banking sector and are banking CEOs actually supporting this this commission? Are they actually working with it?
Banks have given the commission their full cooperation from day one. It's taking, as you would expect.
Are they doing it seriously?
Very seriously. You know, if you put yourself in their shoes, they know that every Australian is watching. They know that every customer expects them to cooperate. But more importantly, they are taking the findings as they are unravelling very seriously. And that's what I think Australians expect them to do. This is something that is on their mind constantly. There are, we've held many, many meetings on individual issues as well as the overall findings. CEOs are giving this not only a lot of their own personal attention, but they've allocated significant resources across all of their senior and middle people to not only help the commission wherever they need it, but to be thinking inside the bank, well, how did this happen? How do we stop it? How do we fix it? And how do we make sure we repay every cent to any customer that's been left out of pocket?
Annie, you said that one of the factors here that the laws were not strong enough, and I'm not asking you to comment on APRA or the other parts of regulation, but at the end of the day, it was people in the banks that did this activity with the knowledge of others in the banks and thought it was okay. They thought it was okay because they kept doing it. It wasn't isolated. So yes, whilst the law needs to be stronger, I say, hang on, what is wrong with a culture that says this is okay, to charge dead people fees, to tamper with documents, to lie to your customers? How does it happen that is okay within an organisation?
I think that is the question that goes to the heart of not only the matter, but also the heart of how do you ensure that this doesn't happen again? Because that's the most disturbing thing. I think most people who go to work in a bank every day honestly believe that they are good people doing the right thing and doing what is expected of them at work and by their customers. And sometimes they're right about that. Everything they're doing is fine. Other times, the behaviour has become so normalised that they don't see how it might be impacting on people outside the organisation, or they've lost sight because everyone else around them is working on the same principles. They lose sight of perhaps a more moral compass, and it that is, the heart of it is human beings. You're right. Banking is a very, there are a lot of people work in banks, and every day some of them are making decisions that have had very, very, not just poor outcomes, very serious outcomes in some cases for customers. One thing that right now banks are doing is going back on a number of these issues, going back 5 and 7 years into people's accounts and determining where the wrong thing has been done. And not only repaying those customers, but then unpacking, well, how did this happen? How do we make sure that our systems, as well as our people, are improved so that we can identify when things go wrong much more quickly, and we can also work with our people to make sure that they have what they need to make the right decisions every time.
Anna, you've said that this needs to be fixed and banks need to take some responsibility and put in place some measures to correct these scenarios. I mean, you work across the sector. You are representing the peak. What two or three things would you recommend that banks do immediately?
Fixing fees for no service has been one of the priorities identified across the sector. This is something that ASIC started working on some time ago, and working with banks to really uncover the extent of it. It's a good example of something that started in one or two places, and then people took it across the sector as this was how to do business. And, it's a very good example of how people can lose sight of what is right. And if it becomes so widespread, it starts to feel normal. And that's not an excuse, but it's understanding how human beings can sometimes fall into that trap. That matters. So that's a really important one. But I think one of the things that the Commissioner has identified in almost every issue that he's examined is that more often than not, there have been incentives in place that have rewarded people and incentivized them in ways that have sometimes become quite distorted. And so that remuneration piece is very important. And banks identified this themselves about 2 years ago, put in place a big sector-wide review undertaken by a man called Stephen Sedgwick, who is a former Public Service Commissioner for the Australian Public Service. And he, last year, provided a set of recommendations that basically it was, that all banks should remove all direct sales targets from the incentives that are provided to any of their staff that have any customer interface.
Well, of course, the banks didn't do that till this was actually uncovered by the Commission itself.
No, banks have done that. All of them have new scorecards by which they assess staff. It doesn't mean that financial measures are eliminated. These are still commercial businesses, but they're not directly linked to an individual. So it may be, everybody plays a role in making sure that the region does, meet certain targets, but it doesn't any longer relate individually to a single staff member's individual sales of any particular product.
Okay, well, they're two pretty good strategies.
Yeah, but to be honest, being honest with you, that's probably banks started doing that last year. It's probably taken into the middle of this year before you'd say it's been changed in every single bank for every single person.
And of course, the biggest issue for us as people who use banking services is to actually rebuild our trust.
Yeah, and that's We've got about a minute left, Anna. So, can and why should people trust our banks again? How are they going to trust them again?
Well, I don't like to talk about building trust. I think it's important to talk about earning trust.
Yep.
You earn trust when you behave in a way that is trustworthy. And I think it is going to take some time. If you lose trust in a friendship, for example, it takes a while to rebuild it when people behave in a way that consistently makes you feel, I can trust this person again. And that's the way it's going to have to be for banks. If you behave your way into a problem, the only way out is to behave your way out of it. And banks know that. They have to systematically ensure that every single experience a customer has is a good one and a fair one. And if there is a problem, I think Australians are reasonable people. They know that in big organisations, sometimes something will go wrong. But if that happens, find it quickly, fix it quickly, and treat the person who's been affected as fairly and reasonably as you possibly can on the way through. And until customers see that every day, every week, every month, for for years on end, that is the only way to become more trustworthy and to think about customers as someone whose respect and trust you have to earn every single day.
Yeah. We have run out of time, Anna. Look, I want to thank you for coming on.
It's lovely to talk to you.
We'd love to have you back when the final report is out, and also any time that you want to come on and talk about this issue, because it affects every Australian.
It sure does. You know, one of the things that for me makes this such an important role is every single Australian has a relationship and needs a relationship with their bank. For most people, it is not optional. You don't want to keep your money under the bed in a you know, in a shoebox. So getting it right matters to every single Australian, whether they're a school child with their first account, a first-time buyer, a retiree. Every one of us needs strong, stable banks, but we need them to be fair and to be honest.
Great. Anna Phelps.
Anna Phelps. Anna Bly.
Anna Bly, thank you very much for your time this morning.
I know. I know.
We've been doing it all morning, actually.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anna.
Thanks.
And we'll speak to you again soon. That was Anna
Bly. Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you. Anna Bly, CEO of the Australian Bankers Association.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.